Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We're really excited to welcome Brett McMurphy, who's a college football insider, the college football insider for Watts Stadium, and is there in the Bay Area from Levi's Stadium. How did you like that atmosphere for the college national championship, Brett?
You know, it was pretty good. There were a lot of people that kind of wondered if it was going to be, if there were going to be a lot of empty seats. And I don't think it was a hard sellout, but it filled up pretty nicely. And we were lucky it had rained the previous 3 days, and we got a pretty nice day for Northern California this time of year, and no rain, and the field was in great condition. I know there were a lot of concerns because of NFL games, but they put in a new field, and you know, it was a blowout, just like everybody predicted, except Clemson was the winner. And a very, you know, unique trend continues for the 5-year history of the college football playoff. The number one seed has not won a national title in the 5 years of the college football playoff. So blow up the committee. They don't know what they're doing.
So, Brett, the predictions I don't put much stock in, but as you say, a lot of people either expected a close game or were looking for Alabama to be on the upside of a lopsided score. What surprises you about the way this game played out?
Well, I actually did. I'll pat myself on the back. I actually did predict Clemson to win 35-31. It's documented. I'm not just making this up like some 900 gambling tout. So I did call my shot. And the main reason is because Alabama's defense had allowed over 300 yards passing their last two games against Georgia and Oklahoma, and that was the first time that had ever happened for a Nick Saban defense. Now that's 3 games in a row. But certainly I never would have imagined that Clemson would have had that much success offensively with Trevor Lawrence, you know, easily clearing 300 yards throwing the ball. I think probably what surprised me the most is the struggles for Alabama offensively. As good as Clemson's defensive front seven was, I talked to Alabama offensive coordinator Mike Locksley earlier in the week, and I think he felt, and Alabama's players felt like, that they could take advantage of Clemson's weak spot, which was their back four, their secondary. But I think the combination of the front seven was just so dominant that Tua didn't have a lot of time. And, you know, he opens it up with a pick six. He throws another interception. He fumbled but recovered that. And it's weird. You look at the final stats, and Clemson, you know, only outgained Alabama by, you know, 40 yards. But it was really never a game once we got into the late minutes of the first half. But give Clemson credit. I mean, they dominated this game, and, you know, they continue an incredible trend for the last 8 years of the NCAA record. They've either matched or exceeded their preseason ranking in the AP poll in their final AP ranking. And I mentioned that to Dan Radakovich, the Clemson athletic director, and I said, but you guys are screwed next year because you're going to be preseason number one. So there's not much room to improve on that.
Brett McMurphy is the National College Football Insider for Watts Stadium from the Bay Area, now with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So Trevor Lawrence takes over in the fifth game of the season for Clemson. And while there was a little bit of controversy around Kelly Bryant, who decided to leave, this was obviously the right decision for Dabo Swinney and his staff. What impresses you about this true freshman?
Yeah, well, I talked to a lot of Clemson players about that after the game, and they said just the poise of Trevor Lawrence. He doesn't get rattled, and that was kind of the rallying cry for Alabama going into this week, is they hoped that they could rattle Lawrence because he was a true freshman. They could hope that they could put some pressure on him and force some mistakes, except he was flawless. He did look like he started off a little bit shaky. A couple of his early throws sailed a little bit. But, you know, he regrouped, and when he hit that early long touchdown pass, you know, he was in total control after that. It becomes only the second true freshman quarterback ever, to win a national title game, joining Jamel Holloway for Oklahoma back in 1985. But he was just incredible, and the ceiling's the limit for these guys, because since he returned from that head injury against Syracuse the last 9 games for Clemson, they won by an average margin of over 30 points. And tonight was, you know, they almost got there winning by 28.
So when it comes to Alabama and Tua, you know, we talked about the interceptions, and certainly there were a couple of times where, and he said it wasn't the Clemson defense, just that he made a mistake. And so he says that, you know, it's not about the disguised coverages or anything that they did differently, but the offense itself, a couple of times, you know, they're the big plays that you expect, they were going for it on fourth down. They just weren't able to, especially once they got past the first quarter, come up with any more of those big plays. What did Coach Saban have to say about that and getting shut out in the second half?
Yeah, I mean, he just, you know, they got out coached, they got out played. I mean, you know, ironically, in the first quarter or the first couple of minutes of the second quarter, Alabama was out gaining Clemson 220-86, but they only led 16-14. And from that point on, they just didn't have a lot of success. Tua ended up throwing two interceptions. He won his first eight games this year without throwing an interception, and he ends up throwing four interceptions in his last three games, two against Georgia, two against Clemson. He was, you know, spotless against Oklahoma, but pretty much everybody, you know, has had a lot of success against Oklahoma's defense. So I think Clemson's strategy was pretty sound. They felt like they could take away the run. They didn't have to roll up a lot of guys because of their interior strength, and then they would take their chances on the back end with Tua, and they were able to pressure him enough, and they just never really clicked. And I'm sure it's disappointing for Alabama fans, because if you look how Alabama played, how Clemson played the first 12, 13 games of the season up until that Georgia game, and they looked unbeatable. I mean, some people were saying they could be the best team of all time, the first team in the history to win their first 12 games by more than 20 points. And then they'd struggle against Georgia, Jalen Hurts leads them back. And then they'd kind of right the ship against Oklahoma, and everybody's like, okay, Bama's back. They're going to win another one. But, you know, I think another big part for Clemson is that since they beat Alabama a couple years ago in Tampa for the national title, when they play Alabama, a lot of teams, I think, they're beat before kickoff because they're intimidated. They read everything. They hear everything. Clemson has gone head-to-head with these guys 4 years now. They split two. And so Clemson knows that they can beat Alabama, and I think that's a big part of it, and certainly it showed. And, you know, I talked to Justin Ross, the talented wide receiver, and I said, hey, are you guys talking about repeating yet? And he says, well, you know, I don't know about repeating, but until somebody beats us, you know, we're the team to beat. So I think they're already in their mindset that, hey, let's see if they can run this back again next year.
Watch Stadium College Football Insider Brett McMurphy with us after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Before this game kicked off, we got a statement from Mark Keenum, who is the chair of the board of managers for the playoffs. So essentially he's, you know, part of the decision-making process. And he said in his statement that right now they're not even considering expanding the playoff. What's your reaction to that? Because I've heard a lot of people use what we saw in these three games as evidence to expand, but I've also heard the opposite, Brett. So what's your opinion?
Well, I mean, the Cliff Notes version is to get to an 18 playoff, there's just so many things that would have to happen. And based on what the presidents have said they don't want to happen, and among those things are they don't want to extend the season, they don't want to move the season up a week, they don't want to get rid of the conference title game, they don't want to play during finals week, they don't want to play during Christmas, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's simply no place to put an 18 playoff, to put another round of playoffs. So basically what Mark Keenum said today is he said, as far as expanding the number of teams in the playoff, it's way too soon, much too soon, even though it's a possibility. So they want to squash this talk. There's obviously a lot of people in college football that wanted to go to eight teams, but they do make it – the college football playoff, you know, board of directors and management committee does make a good point. There's really nothing wrong with the four-team format. The only thing wrong is that people want more teams.
Right.
And this is no secret. You know, when we started this thing 5 years ago, and I remember talking to a number of ADs and coaches, they're like, well, you've got five power leagues and only four spots. So somebody's going to be pissed off every year. And so that's what's happening. The conferences that aren't getting in are, you know, kind of rallying and saying, hey, we need to expand this to 8 or 6 or whatever. Then you got the group of 5 saying, well, we need to be included. You know, that's another different – that's a totally different argument.
Right.
But I think the reality is the contract is for 12 years. We just finished year 5. It expires in 2026, and we will not see an 18 playoff until 2026 if we ever see one at all.
We will not
see one before 2026.
And certainly the College Football Playoff Committee and the executive chair, Bill Hancock, has echoed that over and over. All right, you can find Brett on Twitter at Brett_McMurphy. He is with Watch Stadium. He is America's own college football insider, former colleague of mine. Brett, great to speak to you again. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Hey, thanks for having me, Amy. Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.